I guess the word fear, and so we're kind of... And I'll go through a couple different illustrations. The Hebrew word is Strong's number H3372, and it is pronounced Yare. And it can, like Dad did a teaching on saying, it could either be reverence or it could be literal fear, depending on your situation. And all of us have been in both. There are times that we're reverent to Yahweh, and other times, Piper's coming. It's time to confess some things. I'm sorry. Here comes the consequences. And all of us have been there. Hey, he looks at our heart. And how many of those that have done this last second? Okay, I got to come clean real quick. And how many times did he deliver us? I don't know about you guys, but there's so many times I was going the wrong way, but I want help right now. I don't want to reap what I sow. But a neat thing, we're watching the videos, funny videos, and here's these huge Great Danes, these big dogs. And these stupid, I like cats, but not these cats in the videos. These tiny cats picking on the dog. And you see the dog looking at the cat, and then you see the dog looking at the owner going, and he wants to get past the cat, and it appears that the dog is afraid of the cat. That dog eat that cat like that. The dog fears its master. The dog fears its relationship with its master. The dog fears who's watching. And what a great illustration for us. Do you fear your coach, your teacher, your spouse, your children, your friends, popularity, being accepted more than Yahweh? And that's a rhetorical question. We get to choose that each day, each situation. Well, I fear Yahweh first. Prove it. Let's see the fruit. And then if you don't do it, even when I put the Donald Trump stuff on, I do it afraid. And we live in Kansas. 7 out of 10 people voted for him. What about San Francisco? Go put that on. Okay, that'd be really taken. So here's a couple examples of who do you fear. And I like some of my notes here. I put like a division sign, Yahweh above man, or man above Yahweh. And all of us in our lives, we've put some other thing above Yahweh or the relationship. But in 1 Samuel chapter 15:24, and I'll just go through some different illustrations of who do you fear? Who are you fearing? Samuel said he did not kill the Agagites. Why? Yahweh, the people. The king, did I say Samuel? I meant Saul. Shaul feared the people more than Yahweh. Did he start that way?
No.
When he went and he slaughtered the oxen and stuff, who did he fear first? Actually, when he first got started, he was a target to get wiped out himself. But who did he fear more, Yahweh or the people? And he started off, Yahweh's first, and in this life, if we die, what's the next thing we're going to see after the resurrection? We go to sleep? Christ, how'd you end? And I saw there's a movie that said, there was a movie I recently watched, and it was something with Tom Cruise, and he goes, I forget who it was, like a Roman author, he says, everybody lives, but not everybody dies well. And it was just a different way going, how are you going to die or end? Now, we don't want to, death is not our introduction, but what's going to be the last page of your life? Being a coward? All of us have watched a movie where the coward or the dirtbag does a 180 right at the end of the movie and saves everybody's life.
Yeah.
And they almost totally redeemed themselves for the whole movie. We understand that. Like, look at, he fell on their grenade for everybody. That's pretty neat. We get to make those choices. In Exodus 1:17-21, Pharaoh said, throw all the Hebrew boys into the river Nile. Feed them to the crocodile gods. What did the midwives fear?
Yahweh.
Over who?
The king.
The Pharaoh. If Pharaoh's killing babies, what is he going to be thinking about a midwife that's usurping him? And they go, hey, he might be able to kill us, but we're not going to be answering to Pharaoh in the hereafter.
Yeah.
Let's have a meeting, midwives. What's your story going to be? You can bow down to Pharaoh. You can bow down. Who are you going to be meeting after this life? And they feared, and Yahweh rewarded them. In Genesis 3:10, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I hid because I feared you. And so, what did Adam actually fear more? His relationship with his wife. He put Eve up and Yahweh down here. And now he was caught. You guys ever been caught before? You know, and so like half of this thing one of the things is you don't have to get caught. You can repent. Confess your sins. And a lot of times, hey, that what you sow, you're going to reap. In the back of your mind going, how long am I going to get away with this thing? And Yahweh, the theme of His Word is you don't have to wait to get caught. Adam got caught. Because what happened was he just feared losing his relationship with Eve over Yahweh. Then we go, wait a minute, let's just compare this with us. Could Yahweh possibly have made another Eve? Possibly. Adam didn't sin. He chose to sin. I'm going to go back. But it's easy for me to pick on Adam, but I've done that with Caden at times. You've done it with Dad. You've done it with your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, who were not for the long haul, but for short runs. In Matthew 14, verse 5, and all throughout this word, Yahweh's word in the Greek, it'll say, or here's an example, Herod feared the Jews. He was going to kill John the Baptist, but he feared the Jews. And then other places, they said they were going to kill Jesus Christ, but they feared the Jews. We can't kill them yet. Why? Who do the Jews fear? Who do these religious people fear? The Jews. They weren't worried about Yahweh and who the guy represented. They feared the Jews. And even today, you might fear losing a relationship with a child or with a child or grandchildren. What are you fearing? And let's just address what we're scared of. Instead of going, I don't fear anything. Yeah, everybody fears something. And then I go, let me see here. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 37. And really, so the topic about who do you fear, who are you going to choose to fear, is going to be lessons from Joseph and his brothers. In chapter 37, if somebody would, there's going to be a lot of reading. Mom, would you start reading verse 1? Genesis chapter 37, we're going to be reading 1 through 36.
So Jacob dwelt in the land.
I'm not quite there yet.
868.
Thank you. Okay.
So Jacob dwelt in the land of the sojournings of his father in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years old, was shepherding with his brethren among the flocks. And he, being a youth, was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, wives of his father. So then Joseph brought in the talk about them something bad unto their father.
Okay, no, we'll just pause there for a second. I was going to try to do this at the end. No, we'll keep going. Make sure I come back to that.
Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons because he was to him the son of his old age. And he had made him a long tunic. So his brethren saw that their father loved him more than any of his brethren, and they hated him, and could not bid him prosper. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they went on yet more to hate him. And he said unto them, Hear ye, I pray you, this dream, which I have dreamed. Lo, then we were binding sheaves in the middle of a field, when lo, my sheaf rose up, yea, and took its stand, and lo, round about came your sheaves and bowed themselves down to my sheaf. And his brethren said, Thou shalt thou reign over us? Shalt thou have dominion over us? So they went on yet more to hate him because of his dreams and because of his words. Then dreamed he yet another dream and related it to his brethren and said, Lo, I have dreamed a dream yet again. Lo, when the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing themselves down to me. So he related it unto his father and unto his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream which thou hast dreamed? Shall we indeed come in, I and thy mother and thy brethren, to bow ourselves down to thee, to the earth? Then were his brethren jealous of him, but his father marked the word. Now his brethren went their way to feed their father's flock in Shechem. So Israel said unto Joseph, Are not thy brethren feeding the flock in Shechem? Come on. Let me send thee unto them. And he said to him, Behold me. So he said to him, Go, I pray thee, look after the welfare of thy brethren and the welfare of the flock, and bring me back word. And he sent him from the vale of Hebron. And he came in towards Shechem. And a man found him, and lo, he was wandering about in the field. So the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, My brethren am I seeking. Do tell me, I pray thee, where they are feeding their flock. And the man said, They've broken up from hence, for I heard them saying, Let us go our way towards Dothan. So Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. and they saw him afar off, and ere yet he drew near unto them, they conspired against him to put him to death. And they said each man unto his brother, Lo, that master of dreams yonder coming in. Now, therefore, come, let us slay him and cast him into one of the pits. I will say a cruel beast hath devoured him. And let us see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it and rescued him out of their hand and said, Let us not smite him so as to take his life. And Reuben said unto them, Do not shed blood. Cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, but put not forth a hand against him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him unto his father. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come in unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the long tunic which was upon him, and took him and cast him into the pit. But the pit was empty. There was in it no water. And when they had sat down to eat bread, they lifted up their eyes and looked, and lo, a caravan of Ishmaelites coming in from Gilead, and their camels were bearing tragath gum and balsam and cistus gum, and they were going their way to take them down to Egypt. So Judah said unto his brethren, What profit that we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, but let not our own hand be upon him. For our own brother, our own flesh is he, and his brethren hearkened. And there passed by certain Midianites, traveling merchants, so they drew forth and uplifted Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and lo, Joseph was not in the pit. So he rent his clothes and returned unto his brethren and said, The lad is not, and I, oh, where can I go? And they took Joseph's tunic and slaughtered a buck of the goats and dipped the tunic in the blood and sent the long tunic and brought it in unto their father and said, This have we found. Examine, we pray thee, whether it is the tunic of thy son or not. So he examined it and said, The tunic of my son, a cruel beast hath devoured him and torn him in pieces, and torn in pieces is Joseph. And Jacob rent his garments and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned over his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to console him. But he refused to be consoled and said, Surely I will go down unto my son mourning to Sheol.
You see, the same brothers that sold him into slavery told their dad he was dead, went and hugged him to comfort him. Do you think they were fear of meeting Yahweh? How disgusting is that? If anything, you stay away. I'm not having anything to do with it. But what did they do? And he refused. He refused to be comforted. And you're going to go, wow. And there's a saying, you did that in front of God and everybody. Can you imagine Yahweh watching this going, oh, you really think you're going to get away with this? Golly. Now here's some neat facts about this chapter here. And some of the stuff I'm taking from Alfred Edersheim, it doesn't say some of these things in the Word. But there's some interesting perspectives for food for thought, what's going on here. Which they kill him. The Alfred Edersheim says Joseph had the birthright, the firstborn. And he goes, that's what the tunic. The tunic would have been called a kataneth in the Hebrew, and it would have been like a prince. And it's one of the reasons why they hated him. And he's going to, and later on, was Joseph the firstborn? He wasn't? Who was the firstborn?
Reuben.
That's the firstborn of Leah. Who was the firstborn of Rachel?
Oh, Joseph.
Yeah.
Never thought about that. You count that in, or I'm going to go, he was the first, okay. And then you can see that, you're going to go, oh, man. And then we look at this, and who did Joseph fear? Because when Joseph brought a bad report to his brothers, his older brothers, who might have been in their 20s and 30s, who hated him, they say they hated him after that. Did he fear his father and Yahweh over his brothers, or did he fear his brothers over Yahweh? Because if he feared his brothers in that relationship, he would have said, hey, you keep your mouth shut. We'll let you hang out. But what did he do? I got to do what's right. Got him in trouble, didn't it? And what's neat after that, it said, and then Joseph gives him this Katanath is the thing. I used to read that and go, how can you love one son over the other? That's disgusting. That's how I used to think. You can't love one child over another one. Jacob have I loved, Esau I have hated. Who said that?
Yahweh.
The father of love. Why? Why did he love Jacob and hate Esau? Because of Esau. Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. Maybe his father, hey, we'll do this. We won't tell Yahweh or anything. Yahweh's watching. This is they're going to go, but he hated it. Now we'll see why. Let me see. Most likely why Jacob and Israel love Jacob is Israel love Joseph. When they already hated Joseph. Joseph has a dream. Did Yahweh tell him not to share the dream?
No,
he didn't. And would you have to be brave to tell your older brothers? Where's Esther? Esther. To tell Elijah, who already hates you, who has authority over you, and if your dad's old, he's probably going to be in charge, to say, you will bow to me. Would that take guts?
Yes.
Who did Joseph fear more? His brothers or Yahweh?
Yahweh.
He gave me a message. It's like prophesying. You're not going to want to hear this reproof. And he did. What did he do? You're going to bow to me. Oh! He's like, have you ever had to do that? You reprove somebody or something like that? Now, this was a reproof. Now, so there's test two with his brothers. Who did he fear more? Test three was another dream. What's the other dream? What's the second dream he has? His mother and his father and is going to bow to him. Now, is that a good way to get in good with your dad?
No.
What did his dad say? His father rebuked him. Would you want to tell... Do you think Joseph wanted to tell his dad, you're going to bow to me? As far as we know, Joseph doesn't do anything wrong ever. Ever! I'm not like Joseph. I'm more like Judah, and I'll point that out later. The story is Judah. We're going to look at what happens to Judah later on. But here he is. What does he do? Yahweh's more important. He gave me a message. Dad, you're not going to want to hear that. His dad rebuked him. However, he marked the word. What exactly does this mean? And then you look at these same brothers that Joseph loved more than him. They want to kill him. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. The other 10, because Benjamin's not in this, are going to murder Joseph. Why? Because they are wicked and he is righteous. Why does the media hate Trump? Because the media hates Jesus Christ. Media hates you and hates me. Anybody who stands for Christ, that's who they really hate. If you manifest light, Satan hates it. So who are they? They're evil. They're wicked. They're going to murder his brother. Do you think they're going, hey, at the resurrection, when you go before Yahweh, you think he's going to figure this out that we killed a little brother? Oh, he didn't see it. Obviously, they don't fear Yahweh. And then later on, you see that they strip his clothes. And then Judah... Jesus Christ was the line of the tribe of what?
Judah.
Judah was the grandfather of Jesus Christ. Like, Judah goes, hey, let's not murder him. Let's sell him and make some money off this. So here's Judah. Selling your little brother. You have a little brother, right? If you sold him into slavery, you might make some money. Would you be fearing Yahweh? Do you think you're going to get away with it? Yeah, well, I can't see him. I joke around about little kids. They go, they cover their heads. You see these things on Facebook or YouTube. Little kids in a pantry eating. There'll be some on Facebook where the little kids underneath a kitchen table eating cereal and thinks nobody sees them because they can't see you. And we laugh at little kids and we're the same white. We can't see Yahweh. He can't see us. Right? No, he sees everything. He sees absolutely everything. And he's just watching. What are you going to do with this life? Who do you fear? And really, who I can relate to is not necessarily Joseph. I'm going to be able to relate to Judah. Because we see it right here with Judah. Judah goes, we might as well make some money off of this. And the neat story about this is a lot like Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. Won't go there. But it said, the heir of the vineyard showed up and the people slew him. They killed him to get rid of him. You can see that if they were to get rid of Joseph, in theory, if he was the firstborn because of Jacob, and I go, he is the firstborn of Rachel. Rachel was the one that Jacob wanted to marry. It wasn't Leah. And who was righteous? Jacob was righteous. Not Reuben and these others. If we can get rid of Jacob, possibly, who's going to inherit the family business? Maybe. So it could have been fighting over money. Inheritance, hey. we get rid of Jacob, then we get all the money. And then they sell Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Why did Jacob love Joseph more? And then we'll turn to, let's see. What I just did right there was a comparison of Joseph. Who did he fear more than Yahweh? His brothers or Yahweh? Yahweh over his brothers, even though they already hated him. Even though his life was going to get worse and worse, his brothers again. Did he fear his mother and his father over Yahweh? No. Mark 3:35, who is my brother, my sister, my mother? Jesus Christ feared his father over everybody, even when his mother and his brother and his sister were trying to distract him. He goes, nah, my dad's watching right now. We played college football or even high school football. We knew that everything was being filmed. And somebody would say something, they'd try to instigate it. If you're smart, it's not righteous. But if you're smart, you want somebody to get kicked out of the... you do something. And you do something again, and you do it again until they finally retaliate. They get kicked out of the game, right? But if you're remembering, and you might get kicked out, you might get a yellow flag thrown. But it might happen once. And then that Saturday film session, you're like... everybody, their mom can see what I just did. You're going to go, I fear that. And they would say in football, the eye in the sky don't lie. And so you'll see all those football players, and probably soccer and sports, they're withholding themselves and their animal instincts because there's going to be a film session. Well, guess what? Every one of us is going to have a film session. And Jesus Christ will be saved, but he's going to go, let's just take a look. Here's your life. Let's see here. Now his brothers, let's see here. Turn to chapter 39. Let's see. Now Joseph is sold into slavery. He's in Potiphar's house. Chapter 39, verse 1. He works for the chief of the executioners. His wife, the Potiphar's wife, it's really neat, and I'm going to speed some things up. In verse 6, it says, Joseph was comely in form and comely in countenance. And you see the footnote? That's the same as Rachel was. I bet you he looked a lot like Rachel. I bet you he has some Isaiah lips. He probably had his mom's eyes. He was very, very attractive. Edersheim points that out too. He says, Alfred Edersheim says, Joseph inherited his mom's looks and it's going to get him in trouble. But remember what he looks like. Okay? I'll speed this up here. Potiphar's wife wants to have sex with him. And basically she's saying, nobody's going to know. And if you don't give in to Potiphar's wife, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Yeah. No, who's her husband? He's in charge of executing people, right? What are you going to do? And what did Joseph do? Verse 9. Joseph said, there is no one greater in this house than I. I neither hath been withheld from me anything save only you thyself, and that thou art his wife. How then do I do this great wickedness and sin against Yahweh, Elohim? Who was he holding above Potiphar, and whose life was dangling? He did it again. He passed another test. Who else was going to pass tests like this? Yes. Jesus Christ was. And so are we. You're going to sit there and you're going to go, and as far as we know, Joseph goes, I'm not going to do it. And you know what he thought? As far as we know, I'm going to die. But if I'm going to die, I'm going to die honoring Yahweh who's watching me, because there is a resurrection. This life's this long. It's but a vapor. It's going to be over. And if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go this way. And what else is Joseph? He's a prophet. Nobody gets revelation. Have you ever received revelation like Joseph?
No.
Those kind of dreams? I haven't. What kind of guy is this guy? And if you keep yourself clean, if you separate yourself, holy you shall be because I am holy. If you separate yourself holy, you will have communion, you will have revelation, you will have clarity. Joseph kept that. But he passed another test. Who did he fear more? He feared Yahweh over Potiphar's wife. Some other commentary believes that Potiphar did not believe he raped her because he would have killed him. He's a chief of the execution, but he puts him in a different a prison. So he goes to another prison, and Joseph, no matter where he went, he never forgot who was watching. you're going to be going through some stuff. Joseph is humiliated and humiliated and humiliated. He lost his father. He didn't do anything wrong. And nobody understands me. I'm all by myself. Or is he? If you think the way, if you start thinking the way I'm saying, you got to rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ and say, faith comes by hearing. I am not alone. And if I have Yahweh and Christ with me, then I have all that I need. And if everybody leaves me, let them go. Because I want Him. I want that peace that passes all understanding. And if people are going to reject me, let them reject me for you. You are worth it. That's all I need. I used to think about that on a desert island. How depressing would it be to be all by yourself on a desert island? Well, wait a minute. That's what Adam and Eve were on. There's only two. Oh, we're never alone. Even if you get stranded on a desert island, Yahweh, I'm with you. What do you want to do today, Dad? What do you want? And he's going to go, now you're getting the point to your life. You're getting the point to your life. What is the purpose? Your relationship with him. And if you can do what Joseph did, you will really succeed. Now we're going to take a look at Joseph's brothers. Okay, they brought in a bad report. Did they fear Yahweh with his bad report? No, you little rat. You're ratting us out. Is that fearing Yahweh?
No.
It's probably they stole something or did something to their dad. That's not fearing Yahweh. When they start talking about killing him, is that fearing Yahweh? No. And then they're going to sell him? I mean, how evil is it to sell your brother? But at least we didn't kill him, right? And then you see Reuben in there, and Reuben appears to be a little bit more righteous, but we're going to find out a little bit later about what's going on with Reuben. Let me see, 39, 1 through 9. I think we already went there. And then you have the interpretations of the dreams. And after the interpretations of the dream, Joseph stayed his course. He's now at the right hand of Pharaoh. I'm just kind of speeding up here. Chapter 41, verse 45. And Pharaoh says, you're at the right hand. All of Egypt is yours, except for me. As if Jesus Christ was exalted to the right hand of the Father. And that Jesus Christ is running everything that Yahweh, he's earned it. He's running it. And what's Joseph's name? Zaphnath-Paneah. Zaphnath-Paneah. Here's his new name. He's shaved. He doesn't look like a Hebrew. But you know what I personally believe? I bet he still looked like his mom. You're going to read through here that they didn't know it was Joseph. How would you? He's Pharaoh pretty much. He dresses like an Egyptian. He's speaking Egyptian. He needs an interpreter. But man, when you look at it, what do you see when you see his eyes, man? I can see your mom in your eyes. What do you think his brothers were looking? They're gonna get to meet him, and they're gonna be looking and go, dude, I'm getting the heebie-jeebies with this guy. He really talks harsh. Man, does he remind you of Joseph? Holy God, I'm gonna look at him again. They didn't think he was Joseph, but he looked like his mom. And Yahweh gives those things. Let me see. Okay, then we skip on down to chapter 42. Here comes Jacob's brothers. They did some dirty stuff. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins. If. Then you're forgiven your sins. If you don't confess your sins, are you forgiven?
No.
You're not forgiven. We don't lose our salvation, but you're not forgiven for those things. I was talking to Caven about that too, going, if we sin against our brother, I'm guilty here of this one. I confess my sin to Yahweh, but I never told them what I did. And they go, that's not loving my neighbors myself either. So we're also supposed to be confessing our sins to one another too. But here comes his brothers, comes to Joseph, chapter 17. They come to Joseph. Joseph sees his brothers. What do they do to him?
Bow down.
We're here there. They're bowing down to him. Who is he?
Yes.
Would he have a good reason to sell them into slavery? Mm-hmm. Would he have a good reason to lock them up and never say anything about it? Did he have the authority? Mm-hmm. Did he have the power? Mm-hmm. Would anybody know?
Nope.
Nobody would know.
Wow.
Nobody would know. And what do you think is going through his mind? Man, I've had family members and loved ones do something to me. They never sold me to slavery. Are you kidding me? And Alfred Edersheim believes it's to get rid of the birthright. We got to get rid of the firstborn. We get all this stuff. And you hated me because I was first in line. Chapter 42, verse 17. So he drew near them all together into ward for 3 days. And Joseph said unto them on the third day, this do and live. Elohim himself do I revere. And I believe right there, might be personally, Joseph was going to probably wipe him out. Would it be justifiable?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. But wait a minute. I believe, me personally, Joseph was a prophet. And he was considering these things. But before he made a decision, what did he do? In my opinion, he got down on his knees and go, shall I go? Shall I go? Like King David would have. And I believe we're here. I believe Yahweh says, don't go. Ooh, man. Have you ever had information? If that's the case, have you had information? I got everything I need to confirm I need to go this way. And then you go get peaceful and Yahweh says, don't go. And you're like, oh! And you know what? How many times I missed it. I forced it. I went anyways and the car breaks down. I'm like, I know it. I'm sorry. But I believe right here, Joseph goes, I fear Yahweh more than myself. Because what he does here is now he could have been on top and nobody's going to know. Me personally, I believe he goes, no, I'm not going to do it. I fear Yahweh because this life, and he's telling me to hold back for some reason. And as far as I know, Joseph doesn't know why he's doing these things either. And if you just read this or watch a movie, it looks like he's just teasing him. Alfred Edersheim believes, and I agree with Alfred Edersheim with this hypothesis, that Yahweh is sifting him. And Yahweh is testing him, and he's sifting him. Who's going to be the 12 tribes of Israel? Is that a big responsibility? Yeah. 10 of these guys are evil. And they have no fear of Yahweh. Is that a problem? That's a real problem. You guys better get it right. And so what's happening? You got one, and Yahweh's going to be working through Joseph to say, you guys are going to get it right. And then in verse 19, Joseph says to him, if ye are honest men. He said, we are honest men. Do you think that would have bothered Joseph? Mm-hmm. Honest? Honest? I brought a bad report because you weren't honest. You're going to kill me. Honest? And then Joseph goes, if you are... you know how hard it would be? And he's doing it through an interpreter too. Why do I have to do this interpreter? I believe that I was telling him. And then he goes on, one of your brothers you shall keep as a prisoner in your house, but ye go take in corn for the family of your house, and your youngest brother shall be bring in unto me, that your words may be confirmed, and ye not die. And they did so. And this is why I personally believe that Reuben, when he's looking at this guy, this Egyptian named Zaphnath Paneah, he's looking at him going, I see Joseph. You know why I believe that? Read what happens next. Verse 21. And they said each man unto his brother, very guilty. We are respecting our brother. In that we saw the distress of his soul when he appealed unto us for favor, and we hearkened not. Therefore hath come unto us this distress. They went right back to Joseph. That which you sow, you will reap. And you know what? There's an innate thing that every human knows. And some people call it karma. No, that what you sow is reap. Karma is paganism. But they knew what they did. And I believe that they could see something with this guy that really might have been Joseph. And then Reuben responded to him saying, spake I not unto you? Saying, do not sin against the child? Reuben looks righteous, doesn't he? Remember that. He looks righteous. And you hearken not, his very blood therefore is required. So then they went home and they confessed to Israel, saying, Dad, we sold Joseph into slavery. He's not dead. He's in Egypt. I guess they didn't know he was in Egypt. So they confessed their sin. If you don't confess your sin, do you have fear for Yahweh? No. They're not caught yet. I haven't been caught. I've gotten away with this so far, but man, they're getting really creeped out. They're not caught. And then it said, and then they went to their father, verse 30. The man, this is the Lord of the land, spake unto us harsh things. Yeah, he was so mean to us. And then go down here in verse 34. So much you get to know that you are not spies, but you are honest men. He goes back to Jacob. Poor Jacob. What did he do wrong? Here's Israel going to go, man, what's going on here? Let's see here. Now here's what's really interesting about this, because Judah, I forgot to show you what Judah did. We're going to talk about one of the brothers, chapter 38. You guys don't have to go there. I'll sum stuff up. here's one of the heads of the tribes of Israel. Judah has a son named Ur, and Ur got married to Tamar. And Judah's firstborn was displeasing in Yahweh's eyes, so Yahweh put him to death. He killed him. He was evil. And so the custom at the time would be, if a husband died, who's going to take care of the wife? The brother's going to marry you. The brother marries. So what happens is, so then Judah told his other son Onan, go into your brother's wife, take care of her, and you're supposed to have a seed, get her pregnant, so the baby would take care of him. It's like Social Security. The children take care of you. But he has sex with her, but he won't impregnate her. He puts the seed on the ground, as if Yahweh wouldn't notice. He dies. And then here's Judah. Judah goes, I only got one son left. All I got is Sheila. And he goes, I tell you what, you can marry Sheila as soon as he's weaned. Okay? As soon as Sheila's weaned, I'll bring him to you. And then later on, here's poor Tamar. She's lost, widowed twice. What has she done wrong? Nothing. And then later on in the chapter, you'll find out that, hey, she's there's your old father-in-law. Here he comes, and she looks, and she sees Sheila, and he's probably a strapping buck. And she goes, he could get me pregnant. And she finds out that he's withholding a son. He's afraid that Sheila might die too. Is that fearing Yahweh? Or is that fearing his child over it? You're going to find that Judah, hey man, you sold Joseph and then you did these things. But then you're going to see the 180 of Joseph, or Judah, excuse me, in chapter 44. So they go through this testing back and forth with it would appear that Joseph is just testing and testing and testing and testing. And in my opinion, it's not Joseph testing him. They don't have the fear of God in them yet. You know, have you ever had that? I haven't been caught yet. I'm not caught yet. Woo, that was a close call. Man, I was speeding, and that cop caught, he got real close to me. I went, heart rate went up, and then he didn't pull me over. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's all right. So then I kept speeding. That's not reference. I got away with it. At least I thought so. But here in verse 16, Judah's going to say something. And in my opinion, then said Judah, chapter 44, what shall we speak to my Lord? How shall we speak? And how shall we justify ourselves? He's talking to Zaphnath-Paneah, which was Joseph in disguise. And what did Judah say next? God himself hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Who speaks up?
Judah.
In my opinion, Judah, and we're going to find out why here in a second, I think Judah repents. I think he does a 180. And he goes, I give in. God knows. Yahweh knows. He sees everything. We didn't get away with anything. But I think he does a 180. And why do I think that? Because if you fast forward, so we see, with his brothers, you say getting caught was more important. I don't want to get caught. I'll be a good Christian. I just don't want to get caught. These other things. But then Judah right there, Judah confesses his sins, in my opinion. Now we're going to turn to chapter, I think it's 49. And here's a little illustration of myself getting caught. I thought I had a pen up here. So in the scriptures it says that Jesus Christ is going to gather up the body of Christ up. We're going to go up into the clouds. The people that are left, there's going to be all kinds of tribulation and stuff during that time. Then we're going to come back down after the tribulation's over for how many years?
1,000 years.
During that 1,000 years, there's going to be people that are living there. And it also says, well, I forgot to go there, that it says, vengeance is mine, saith who?
Yahweh.
I'm going to pay people back. And every once in a while, he's going to go, I'll take care of it. When Uriah the Hittite was murdered, did he ever get paid back? Was that ever reconciled with King David? I mean, did King David ever have to pay him back what was lost to the family? No. Going to go, and I believe what Dad said, that 1,000 years is going to be a payback. They're going to go, and here's an interesting thing with me. When Dad said that, if that's true, during that 1,000 years, if you stole from somebody, if you owned an African slave for 30 years, and you,
I believe that all's going to get worked out. Yahweh's going to say, now you're going to work for them. But when Dad first brought that up, do you know what happened to me? I'm going to get caught. And you know what happened? I had one thing. I was like, I'm not guilty of anything. Is that a good sign or a bad sign that if somebody turns on the light, turns that light back off, I'm going to get caught? Is that good or bad?
That's pretty bad.
It's bad. I mean, I have some dirt.
Yeah.
And so what I was able to do, and I went, do I really? And then why did that thing pop up just like that quickly? And it was just some business I did in a while back. And what I did wasn't wrong, but for some reason, it wasn't quite right. And I can't go back and fix it. It was 15 years ago or something. But what do I do? But because of Dad's teaching, and whether it's 1,000 years or not, nobody gets away with anything. But guess what? All of us are already caught. You're already caught. You didn't get away with anything. But during that time, I went on my knees. And I was like, Father, I'm feeling guilty about this thing and that I might have to repay this. Now I'm really kind of concerned. How can I fix this? And guess what happened? A solution came just like this. I went, that doesn't sound very tough. I gave it a day or two. Guess what happened? How should I reconcile this one thing that I can't reconcile? You know what happened? The same solution came. This peaceful thing. I gave it another day or two and I go, Father, I have an outstanding balance. I never did anything like Joseph, but I did something that it kind of irritated me. And guess what? The same solution. I go, that's it. I'm going to go fix this thing now. I'm done with it. That's what kind of God we have.
Yeah.
Pull over. Get this stuff out of the way. Get down on your knees and go, what did you do? You sold $1,000? Well, how can you pay it back? I don't know. I don't know who I stole it from. Does the maker of the eye not see? Does the hear of the ear not hear? Or the maker of the ear? He knows how to make it up. Now, the objective is not to be worried about getting caught. He's going, look, nobody gets away with anything. And like it's sitting here going, everybody's already caught. Nobody's gotten away with anything. You could just deal with it now, or you can deal with it then. Chapter 49. And this was before Alfred Edersheim. I never noticed these things about how wicked Israel was. And I kind of thought about it, actually. But when I thought about it, well, they sold him into slavery because his dad loved them more. I was just envy, man. I could kind of relate. You love yours. You know, people do teachings like that. I was kind of like, okay. I never really thought about it. But how old was Joseph when he was sold into slavery?
I don't know. He was a youth.
17. Very good. Was he worried that his dad was alive? He kept asking, is your father alive? Is your father alive? Is your father alive? How old was his father? He was old. How many years did Israel get to live in Egypt? 17. I don't think that's a coincidence. Yahweh put that in 17 years. Now Jacob is going to go to sleep. In chapter 49, verse 3. He's going to go to his firstborn, the firstborn, at least unto Leah. Reuben, my firstborn thou, my vigor, my first fruit of my strength, preeminence and elevation, preeminence of power, boiling over like water. Thou mayest not have preeminence, because thou didst mount the bed of thy father. He had sex with Jacob's concubine. Rachel had a concubine. She could not have children. She had a handmaiden. In order to have somebody take care of in your old age, you had to have children. Your children take care of it. And so Rachel gave Jacob Bilhah to be a concubine to have children. Reuben had sex with his dad's concubine. And it says Israel heard what his son did. He heard. Did Reuben ever confess this?
No.
He's going to say, because thou profane this thing. Reuben's going to go, I didn't know Dad knew about that. You thought you got away with it, Reuben? Possibly. Now we're going to go to the older ones, chapter 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of violence. As their agreement into a circle, do not thou enter my soul. In their convocation, do not thou join my honor. For in their anger they slew brave men. Dinah was raped. But the guy that had sex with their sister Dinah, what did he want to do? Dad did a teaching, which was important. He said, if you had having sex with somebody is marrying them. You're married. Here's people that I've never been divorced, never been married. You've had sex with 30 people. You've been married 30 times. Yeah, that's not. But in this case, when Dinah has sex with this guy's son, he wants to marry her. And as far as we know, that is to make it right, right? Mm-hmm. But what does his sons do? He was worried about what his sons were going to do. So his sons go, hey, we can't marry you because you guys aren't circumcised. Unless everybody's circumcised, we can't marry you. And they go, okay. So then all the men get circumcised. Oh, I forgot to go there. And what happens is Simeon and Levi go on and they start killing everybody. And guess who else jumped in? All the rest of Israel's sons jumped on the booty. Yeah, so if you want, after the teach, I'll go back and show you. It wasn't just Simeon and Levi. All the rest was, not, it didn't say Joseph, but they plundered her. No, I'm not going to kill anybody. I'll take the food and the money. Yeah, so obviously they were not in fear of what Yahweh was going to do. And it says right after that that Jacob was in fear going, what in the world? Because if Jacob would have came back and said, you did what was right, they're like the Amalekites. Yahweh said they'd get wiped out. He didn't. Jacob feared. And now we're going to get to Judah. Remember, Judah did. He had sex with his sister. He ended up having sex with his daughter-in-law. Remember, he was right with these top four. Judah, as for thee, thy brethren shall praise thee when thy hand is on the neck of thy foes. The sons of thy father shall bow themselves down to thee. What do we see here? This is a blessing. The lion's whelp is Judah. For thy prey, my son, hast thou come up. For he hath stooped, hath crouched as a lion, or as a lioness, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the commander's staff from between his feet, until he cometh in as Shiloh. Who was blessing these children?
Yahweh.
Yahweh was. He saw everything they did. In my opinion, I think Judah did a 180. And he ended up becoming the part of the Christ line. And so can we. You say, all of us are already caught. Nobody gets away with anything. But the deal is going to say, I want to get rid of this garbage, and who do I fear more? Do I fear police? Do I fear friends? Do I fear relationships with the family? I'm going to go, or do I fear Yahweh? And I think it would be a good thing for all of us to be like Joseph, to say, they're going to go, hey, Tim, what are you going to do? You know, you can sue this guy. You can do this. You can do that. And you're sitting there. And as you're thinking about it, you say, I fear Yahweh. And you know what most people would say? Who's Yahweh? And why do you fear him? Yahweh is the creator of the heavens and the earth. His son sitting at the right hand. I'm not to answer for everything I do. I can justifiably do these things. But whether it's right or not in their eyes, I'm not to answer that. I'm not to go pray about these things. And I think if we would say those things, well then it would make things a lot easier. And here's a couple different things of examples about fixing our mistakes, cleaning up, just clean it up. I remember mom and dad when I was a teenager, had friends all the time. You guys are so great. Messes all the time. And mom finally goes, it's okay if you make a mess. Just clean it up. I just don't want to come home to messes and messes and messes. So we have to start cleaning things up. You always just ask me to clean up your messes. And so, if anything, I'm more like Judah than Joseph. But 1 Corinthians 5 says, if a family member or a Christian is in sin, a fornicator, an extortioner, an adulterer, not even to eat bread with him. Why don't churches do that? Who do they fear more?
The people.
They fear their relationships more than Yahweh. Turn to chapter 8, verse 11. I'm sorry, chapter 8, 11. Page 8, 11. Ezekiel 22. And so Isaiah, when is Christ coming back?
We don't know.
He could come back tonight. Right. And your parents won't be there to help you. Your wife won't be there to help you. Nobody's going to be there when he comes back. It's just going to be us and them. And we don't know when the last day is. And I like to see that with Judah. If what I'm suggesting is true with Judah and the 180, can you imagine the tears going down his face that the Christ line, the seed of the woman, is going to come from me? Yeah. I'm the one that sold him for 20 pieces of silver. That was my idea. That's what Yahweh wants. He wants that heart. Just turn around. Turn around. Repent. And then repent to the other people. Because Joseph's brothers, as far as we know in the scriptures, did they ever tell their dad what they did? It doesn't say they ever. They didn't just sin to Yahweh. What did they do to their dad? They got to go, Dad, this is going to be a hard talk, man. Joseph's been caught a long time. But I fear Yahweh, just like that Pharaoh dude does. I got to tell you, and I told my son this, and I said, this is something my dad told me. He goes, if you got to confess something that's real embarrassing or really hard, you go to that believer and you go, I got to talk to you something. I'm ashamed of it. I'm really embarrassed, but I got to get this thing out of the way. Please be patient with me and please be kind. And you know what most of those people are going to do?
Be kind.
They're going to be like, wow, that is awesome. What you got? And I've been able to do it with my dad sometimes, my mom, and I share some things. They sit there and they're going to go, you know how good you feel when you get rid of it? There was a story. This guy was walking, helping his family out, helping his son out, an ungrateful son who wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And while he was helping his son, he steps on a piece of glass at the house. Now he's really ticked. Came over to help his son. His son is not cleaning up anything. And there he's got it. Ah, what a day, what a day. So you know what he does in his anger? He tries to yank it out, throws it out. He didn't get all out. He didn't clean out the glass. Now he's pissed. He's ticked. 2 days later, he's limping. He's not dealing. He's not cleaning it out. 3 days later, 4 days later, a week later, and pretty soon since he's not addressing what the problem is in his foot, he has to go to the hospital. And the doctor goes, what are you... You got a piece of glass in there. Well, I felt something in there, and the doctor's, you know, are you serious? You know, we could have amputated that thing. This could have been septic. Well, I didn't want to dig it out, and the doctor's going to go, why didn't you, if you would have just pulled this thing out, if you would have just cleaned this thing out, it would have been fine. That's what forgiveness is, guys.
Yeah.
That's for us just going, I don't want to carry this thing anymore. You're going to go, Father, I'm going to take this piece of glass. I'm going to give it to you. I'm sorry. Thank you for helping me make these things right. And then all of a sudden you're going to go, man. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 3. Dad, would you read that?
Then I sought I from the mighty men a man who could build up a wall and stand in the breach before me in behalf of the land so that I might not destroy it, but I found none.
What did Yahweh say? That which you sow, you will reap, right? Vengeance is mine, saith Yahweh. I will repay. Yahweh says in Ezekiel, right here, verse 30, he goes, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. I couldn't find one. 1 Corinthians 5 says, if you see a brother, or I guess it would be Galatians 6:1, if a brother is an heir, or somebody's a fornicator, you were supposed to stand in the gap because I can't eat with you. You're an extortioner. You're stealing from somebody. You're robbing from your neighbors. You're going to go, oh, well, I don't want to lose that family member. What's more important, standing in the gap for Yahweh or them? Because that which you sow, you'll reap. Yahweh doesn't want some of these people to have to reap what they're sowing. If there's an extortioner or an adulterer or a fornicator and they're stealing from people and, hey, I'm getting away with this thing, if you stand up and go, hey, I can't eat with you anymore, we're standing in the gap, Yahweh right here is going, I would love to save these people, but I'm surrounded by cowards that fear these relationships more than me. And by you not standing in the gap, all you're doing is postponing. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And verse 31, therefore have I poured upon them mine indignation and the fire of mine outburst have I consumed them. Their way upon their own head have I pierced or placed, declareth Yahweh, my Lord Yahweh. So you look at Galatians 6:7 says, Yahweh's not mocked. That which you sow, you'll reap. Everybody's going to reap. But if we care about Yahweh and Christ first, what we're going to do is we're going to stand in the gap. And who stood in the gap? Joseph stood in the gap. Here's the dreams. Here's these other things. I fear Yahweh first. And we're going to warn people. We're going to go, you are really, really, really irritating Yahweh. And instead of being worried about offending them, we're going to go, I told Caleb, and I said, if we're sitting in a room and your mom has a purse here and she left the room, I heard Dad do a teaching on this, and I walked over, I took some money out of your mom's purse, put it in my pocket right in front of them, and if I did that right in front of you, I took your money out of your mom's purse, how would that make you feel? And Caden kind of sat there for a second, going to go, wow, just watch you take money out of my mom's purse. And they go, yeah, and then your mom comes back in, takes her purse, bye guys, and leaves. Caden would look at me like, what did you just get me into, man? Right? And that's what we're doing with Yahweh if we don't stand in the gaps. Can they go, he's right there. They just took money out of his wallet, or they spat on him. And you know, I was telling Caden also, it says that, where do we read this? Oh, it says, James 3:1, it says,
don't desire to be a teacher. Because there's going to be a greater judgment, right? But anyways. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your teaching. For all the believers that are here, we thank you for these words. Do not be fearful of the future. Because when you are with me, I wrap my arms around you and I hold you. And when you're afraid to come back to me and talk about some of these hard things, remember my words, because I put in the words saying, let us reason. It's okay to have disagreements. But let's talk about these things. And as you consider these things, some of these hard talks, what I ask you to do is look behind you and look how many times that I washed you clean, that I bathed you and I washed you. I asked my son to die the death of Calvary just to be with you. We can get over and through these things if you allow me to. So come and meet with me, with the ones, the things in your life, and then the next one, let's look at some of the other people that we could also be helping. And I'll reward you greater than you can imagine. Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen.